Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Tez Zayin. We are going to begin on the very last line of Tezfav Omid Beis. We are always continuing to learn for the safety of the forces in Eretz Yisrael. They should be safe, they should be secure, they should be successful. Bring home the hostages, Be'ezus Hashem, immediately, safely, and in good health. All those needed before Shlemer should have one b'mehera. Okay, so in yesterday we had the Mishnah towards the bottom of Tezfav Omid Beis, where we had a discussion, the beginning part of the Gemara, as to the Reisha of the Mishnah being, in fact, the opinion of the Chachamim, and the Seif of that Mishnah being the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. So that was one way to reconcile the seemingly inconsistency in the Mishnah, where the Reisha was the opinion of the Chachamim, who said, Mishuna Karen Bechotzer HaNizak, that you pay Chatzi Nezek and not full Nezek. That's the opinion of the Chachamim, that this is an unusual type of damage, Karen, and even if it's a Tam, in the Rishus of the Nizak, you still only pay Chatzi Nezek. Whereas the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon is that Mishuna Karen Bechotzer Nizak, but Nezek Shalim Hu DeBishalim. So that's how we had to reconcile the first and second parts of the Mishnah. Today we're going to have several other ways to reconcile that. And again, we pick up on the very bottom line of Tezvav Amid Beis with the words Rabbi Elazar Mishmei Derav Omar. Rabbi Elazar tells us the name of Rav, and we turn to Tezayin Amid Aleph, and he says, Omar, in fact, you could learn the entire Mishnah as being the opinion Kula Rabbi Tarfon. It's all Rabbi Tarfon. So the Seif is no problem. Rabbi Tarfon holds that this Mishuna Nezek, you pay Nezek Shalim when the damage is done in the Rishus of the Nizak, because the Nizak can say, hey, what are you doing in my field? You have no right to be here. So the Seif is no problem, says Rabbi Tarfon. But the Reisha, where it's Chasi Nezek, how come that's Rabbi Tarfon? So the Gemara says the Reisha is also Rabbi Tarfon, because we're dealing here with a Chotzer. The Chotzer Miuchedes Lepeiros Liechod Mehem. However, we have the similar teretz in the Braisa that we had in the previous Shurim, and here we're saying the same thing from the Mishnah. In regards to the right to place your peiros over there, this only was the rights of the Nizak to have the peiros over there. Only the Nizak had the right to put his peiros over there, so therefore, if the Mazik's animal goes and eats those peiros, you're going to be chayiv. So this is a regular din of Shein, and you're going to be chayiv in that situation. However, they both had the right to go and have their oxen over there. And therefore, in regards to the oxen, this isn't the Rishus HaYochid, this is not the Rishus of the Nizak, this is a common Rishus. And therefore, in a common Rishus, in a Rishus HaRabim, they both have the rights to be there. So then the dinim of Karen apply of Chatzi Nezek, even according to Rabbi Tarfon. And therefore, the Legabe Shein, in regards to the Din of Shein, only the Nizak had the right to have his parents over there, Habilei Chatzar and Nizak. This is a regular case of Chatzar and Nizak, and therefore, you have to pay for damages of Shein, because you had no right to be there. The person had the right to go and have his parents over there, and therefore, they are going to be considered damaged when you go and eat them. Now, the owner of the ox, therefore, has to go, the Mazik has to go pay the damages of Shein. However, Legabe Karen, in regards to your rights for your animal to be there, well, this is like a Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, have you Rishus HaRabim? And therefore, in the Rishus HaRabim, the regular dinim of short time apply, and you only pay Chatzi Nezek, even according to Rabbi Tarfon. So that's the teretz we want to give Kula Ritarfani. Amar Kana Rukhava says, not so simple. He says, I said over this teretz, Amisi Lishmaita Kamei Derav Zvid Minardoi. I said over this teretz that we just brought down in the name of Lozor Amarab in front of Rav Zvid from Naradoi, and he said, how can you possibly learn this entire Mishnah as being the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon? Because you have a stira in it. Hak Tani, it says in the end of the Mishnah, Hashein Muedes Lechol Es Haroila. We said that Shein, your Muad, you have to pay full damages for something that is normally eaten. Roila in, Shein Roila Lo. That implies only things that are normal edible things for the shor, so those you would pay Shein damages for. But something that is not normally eaten, so that's like Karen, and you'd only have to pay Chatzi Nezek. So therefore, if you're telling me to be Rabbi Tarfon, Hamar Mishuna Karen Mechotzer Nizak, Nezek Shalim Mishalim. But he holds that no, Karen also pays, if it's in the Chotzer of the Nizak, he would say that you pay Nezek Shalim. So therefore, it is inconsistent with the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Zvid ben Nardoi says, no, I don't accept this Kula Rabbi Tarfon, it doesn't make sense. So Gemara says, okay, well, how about, let's suggest that the Mishnah Eliolam Rabbanhi. So Rabbi Zvid wants to suggest, in fact, we can learn the entire Mishnah like the Chachamim Shita. So the Reish is no problem, that we explain, because they hold that Nezek of Karen is Mishuna, and therefore you only pay Chatzi Nezek. So the Reish, Chatzi Nezek, we understand very well. How do you understand the Sefer? He says that's the Chesuri Mechzer V'Achitani. We're missing parts of the Mishnah, and this is the way you have to read the Mishnah. The Mishnah started off and told us Chamisha Tamenheim. There are five types of Shor Tam, which we had said was the Ab of Keren of Inegicha, and then we had the four told us. So there are five Chamisha Tamenheim. And then the Mishnah says, "Vim huadu." But if all of these were now a shor muad, no longer a shor tam, then chamisha son muadim. Then all of them are going to now have the din of muad that they have to pay nezek shalem. And then, as an aside, it tells us not that these are the other muads. No, as an aside, it tells us. And by the way, v'shein v'regel, these types of damages muadim mitchilasan are always going to be paying full damage. They are considered muad from the very beginning. They don't have to have three times doing it and then they're muad. V'shein v'regel damages are muad mitchilasan. And how do we say that? V'heichon hadasan, where do they become a muad mitchilasan? That's b'chatzer hanizak, when they had no right to go there. So then they're muad. If they eat over there, if they damage by trampling over there, by walking over there, so then they're going to be muad mitchilasan. And that's the way you have to understand the Mishnah. Now it's all the chachamim. That's how Rav Zvid Mimnar Doi understands this. So he says, no, we have a problem with this as well. Maskevla Ravina. Ravina says, hok toni lekamon. We're going to learn in the next Mishnah, in a Mishnah on Daf Chav Dalet Omud Beis, in the second parak in Ketzel HaRegel, and it's going to stay over there, Hoktani Lekaman, Shor HaMazik V'Rishus HaNizak Ketzad. Here it's going to ask the question that what happens when the Shor is doing the damage in the Rishus HaNizak Ketzad? What are the laws? What are the circumstances of that? Now, if you say that we've already discussed it now in our first parak, so then we can understand why in the second parak they say, HaKetzad. What is the circumstances for that? So, if you're saying that we discuss it now in our parak over here, as Rashi says, if our parak here, our Mishnah here, is talking about Bekeren Tama, Bishus Hanizak, Benezek Shalem, so then the parak Kama, Hainu, the Tani Perusha, the parak Beis. So, if our parak is talking about the din, we understand why parak Beis, it says Ketzad, Umafarish Pluks, the Rabbi Tarfon Rabban, and there we'll explain this machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim. So that's great if you say that we're talking about that right now. If we're talking about the damaging of Karen in the Rishus of the Nizak, so then we understand why later on in the second paragraph it's going to say, HaKetzad. Okay. B'shemachik Tani Ketzad. But Eliyamis Lo Ayriba. But if you're saying that our Mishnah is not talking about that, our Mishnah is talking about Shein V'regel Muadim T'chilasa Nechon Ha'adasan B'chatzar HaNizak, so then where in the world are they going to get off talking in the next paragraph? HaKetzad. What are the circumstances? Well, we haven't mentioned yet. Eliyamis Lo Ayriba. My Ketzad. Then what are the words Ketzad doing over there? So therefore, this statement or shita of Razid Minar Doi is questioned by Ravina. No, so Ravina gives his own interpretation. Ella Om Ravina. Ravina says this is the way to reconcile the Reish and the Sefer of the Mishnah as following. He agrees it's a Chisur and Mechzer of Achitani. There are words missing. Mentioned many times from the Marshak from Shlomo Kluger. He says that Rebbe wanted to go and remind us that the Torah Sheba'al Peh should not be written down. So every now and then he would have Chisuri Mechzer or Zvachitani to remind us that this really should all be learned by heart. In any event, this is what's missing. It starts off very similar to what Rav Zvid Midar Doi said, Chamisha Tam Nheim, V'muadu Chamisha San Muadin, that there are five types of Tam, short Tam, the damages of Karen, and if it does it three times, so then it becomes a Shor Muad, and you have to pay full damages. And then, similar to what Rav Zvid said, V'shein V'regel Muadim Itchilasan, the Shein V'regel damages, they're Muad from the very beginning. There is no, you have to do this three times. If you eat or you walk, so those damages of Shein V'regel, they're considered Muad Mitchilasan. And he says, V'zehu Shor HaMuad. This is an example of the Shor HaMuad that is mentioned in the Torah. Rashi says, "Libra Mas Zeu Shor Muad Hod Yamoran V'im Huadu Chamishasan Muadim Zeu Shor Muad." Because with the parsha, so this is what's written in Parshas Mishpatim when the Tam becomes a Muad. That's what it's referring to as Zeu Shor Muad. And by the way, the Shor Hamazik Yishus HaNizak, this situation with the Shor Tam is Mazik in the Shus of the Nizak, that's in fact the Machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbanan, where it's not yet a Shor Muad, it's a Shor Tam. So then we have the Machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chacham. And the Chacham say you still only play Chatzi Nezek, even though it's this Nezek Mishuna, whereas Rabbi Tarfon's opinion is that even though it's a Shor Tam, you pay Nezek Shalim. So that's how Ravina understands the Mishnah. Then he continues, the Eish Moad the Machairim. Then there are other animals that are muad mitchilasan, just like we just said, the shein v'regel muad mitchilasan. And these examples are those other predators that we mentioned at the end of the Mishnah, the hazev, the wolf, the ari, the lion, the dove, the bear, the mardalus, this predatory creature, which we'll discuss momentarily in the Gemara, what exactly this predatory creature is. Vanomer, a leopard, a spotted leopard. Again, in modern Hebrew, it's a tiger, but the Mishnah is referring to over here a leopard. Vanochsh, and a venomous snake. Okay. Now, this is the way Ravina learns it, and in fact, Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a Braisa in support of what Ravina's opinion is, because the Braisa says Befeirish like Ravina. Ravina didn't know the Braisa, or else he would have mentioned it. The Amoraim, as I mentioned many times, knew all the Mishnayos, but they didn't necessarily know all the Braises. So Chamisha Tamim, the Braisa says exactly like Ravina's understanding, that there are five examples of a short time by Karen, the Muadu, but if they did this three times, so then Chamishasan Muad, they become all Muad. And in addition, b'shein v'regel muad mechilasan, as opposed to shein v'regel, which are muad from the start, they don't have to do it three times in order to be chayv nezek shalem. And v'zehu shor muad. These examples where the shor tam becomes a shor muad, those are the examples of zehu shor muad. And in addition, v'shor ha'mazik b'shusa nizak, that when a shor tam goes and does damage in the shusa the nizak, when he didn't have the right to be there, so that's a machlok between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbanan. Rabbi Tarfon says you chayv nezek shalem, where the Rabbanan say no, even in this situation where it's in the shusa the nizak, you only chayv chatzi nezek, because it's a short time. And then the Mishnah continues. The Braisa says the same thing like the Mishnah. And there are other muad mitchilasan animals. These five animals are mentioned in the Mishnah. The Braisa mentions them. So the Braisa is exactly in accord with what Ravina said. Okay. That's the first way to learn Ravina's statement. There's another way to learn Ravina's statement. Ika deramu la mirma. They said Ravina made his statement when there was a contradiction over here between the Mishnah internally. So Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Chamisha tamim v'chishum muadim. It said that there are five tam and there are five muad. Besuleka, there are no more muads. What about the end of the Mishnah? So how can you tell me there are only five muadim? There are many, many more. So how do we answer that up? So that's Ravina comes and answers. Mishani, I'm a Ravina. Ravina tells us the answer, and he gives us the same opinion that he gave before, but he uses it as an answer to explain the ratio the same for the Mishnah. The way to read the Mishnah is as follows, that there are chamisha tamim, there are five short tam animals, the types of nezek from Karen, that the shor was a short time, only pays chatzi nezek. However, im huadu, if it became regular in doing this, did it three times, chamishasa muadim, now it becomes a shor muad. And by the way, the shein v'regel muad mechilasan, these types of damage shein and regel, they're a muad, they have to pay nezek shalim from the very beginning. There's zehu shor muad, and these are examples when the short time went to a shor muad that are now called the zehu shor muad. This is a shor muad as opposed to a short time. And by the way, the shor ha'mazik b'shusa nizak machlokes v'ritar for rabbanan. And this machlokes, if the shor tam does damage in the shusa nizak, is a machlokes between ritar and rabbanan. Again, rabbanan says you still pay only chatzi nezek, whereas ritar says you pay nezek shalim. And then the Mishnah concludes, v'yesh muad machayv b'kiyot be'elu. There are other shamuas. We're not saying that there are only five. We're saying that those were the five that shor tam went to shor muad. And in addition, there are other animals that are shor muad mitchilasan. Hazev, ari, hadov, anom, abaydlus, anochosh. Okay, these animals are all muad mitchilasan because they regularly cause damage. It's not mishuna in this situation. The machlokes of nezek mishuna is only what we have a machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim. But regular nezek that occurs, that's you pay muad mitchilasan. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah that the examples of the tam are, we said, we had negicha, then we had negifa, and then we had, in addition, the low leer boats, that the animal can't go and sit on something. It goes and crushes something by sitting on it. So that is also not a usual way that the animal damages, and therefore that is called like a tolda of carrot. Now, the Gemara starts off and tells us, Omri Lazar, he says, lo shano ela pachin gedolim. The only time that it's not considered a usual way to damage it, if these are large pachin, large jugs of some sorts, large containers, which it's not normal for the animal to go and sit on them. However, avo pachin kitan, these small little pachin, these small little jugs of containers, so the animal just plops down wherever it wants to plop down and will sit on them. The larger ones, it will move away. It won't sit on them because my stomach, it's uncomfortable. But the small ones, it just sits down and it crushes them. That's not considered over here something that's unusual. The pachin kitanim is a usual type of damage. The animal does sit down and therefore it's going to crush those containers. You have to be muad mitchilasim for those small containers. Because this is arachihu, this is the normal way, and therefore there's a difference over here, according to Rabbi Elazar, between pachim gedolim, which is mishuna, and pachim titanim, which is arachihu. Where it says, this seems to be in accord, lema mesayle, with the following braisa. This braisa is in accord with what Rabbi Elazar said. Let's say the Braisa supports Rabbi Elazar, because the Braisa says, Habehema muedes lahalech kidarko l'shaber, that it is normal, it is muad, it is normal for a behemoth to go and walk and do damage. Now, it also says, and here's the critical part, ulemayaches adam v'es ha-behema, v'es ha-kelim. And it's normal that it will go and sit down and crush a person or another animal or kelim. So you see that this is orche. So this seems to be that in some situations it's orche, and in other situations it's not. So let us say that this supports Rabbi Elazar, who says the small jugs, it's orche. The large jugs, it's not orche. It's not a proof. It's not wrong. You can't prove Rabbi Elazar wrong in this, but Dilma Minatzat. Maybe this Bryce is talking about when it crushes them from the side. If you actually sit on them, even the large ones, that's not orche. But just by the animal walking and crushing stuff, pushing stuff as it walks, so it could damage large or small. So one could argue in that situation that it's not urche to go and sit on any type of utensils. Not only the small ones, it's not urche, but certainly not the large ones, it's not urche. So Dilma ben Atzad slugs up this trying to prove from the Braisa it's a support of Rabbi Elazar. That's the first way that we bring down this Maimar of Rabbi Elazar. We have another way to bring down the Maimar. Ika di Amre, we have actually three. This is the second of three. Ika di Amre, Amre Rabbi Elazar came along to tell us, Lo tema pachim gedolim hu delav orchei. Abo pachim kanim orcheyu. The exact opposite of what we just said. Don't think for a second that there's a difference between the large pachim and the small pachim. Elo afilu pachim kitanim nami lav orcheyu. Even the small ones, it's not normal for the animal to go sit down on utensils. And therefore, that's all going to be keren. That's all going to be chatzi nezek if it's a tam. More questions? It says, wait a second, we have the Braisa. The Braisa says, well, Makas, all the Sabeim of Isakalim, it is mu'ud to do that. So we do seem to go against you, Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar says, no, because that's talking about doing on a tzad. It doesn't actually go and sit on them. And therefore, this doesn't slug up my idea that the Pachim Gedolim and the Pachim Ketanim lav orchayu. This is a second way to understand Rabbi Elazar. Now, the third way to understand Rabbi Elazar, that he was actually coming to explain this contradiction. Ika derami lo mirba. It says in our Mishnah of lo lirbot, that's a tolda of Karen, and it's only chatzi nezek. But Tanya in the Bryce says, lo ma'achas ha'odim, it's a behemoth, it's a kelim. So it seems to contradict that. It says that you are going to be chayiv there. Nezek Shalem, and our Mishnah says you're only chayiv chatzi nezek for this sitting down on something. So along comes Rabbi Elazar, like the first teretz that we had, the first explanation of Rabbi Elazar, here, this third explanation is coming to answer that contradiction. Rabbi Elazar, lo kasha, kam v'pachim gedolim, kam v'pachim tanim. Our Mishnah is talking about that it's unusual because it's pachim gedolim, and in the Braisa, it's talking about Pachim Kitanim, and that is usual. So therefore, there's no steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa. It's not two opinions. They're just talking about different scenarios. Now we finally come to answer what exactly is this animal called the Bardlis. So we said the Mishnah, Hazev, Ari, V'chule, we had all the animals, and we had included amongst them this Bardlis. So everybody agrees it's some sort of a predator that does damage. So, but what is this animal? My Bardlis. What exactly is this animal, Bardlis? So Rabbi Yehuda says it's something known as Nafrizah. Now, that doesn't help us much. Nafrizah, what is that? My Nafrizah. We don't know what Nafrizah is. So what is Nafrizah? We know what Bardlis was. We don't know what Nafrizah is. So Rabbi Yosef says this is something called an Apa. Apa is a certain type of a predatory animal. We have lots of different opinions as to what exactly this is. If you look in actually in the article, footnote 33, they have a somewhat comprehensive discussion as to what it is. Most people translate the Bardla as some type of a weasel. Others translate it as some sort of a polecat. Again, these are predatory animals, albeit not the biggest predatory animals. Others therefore say that this is either a cheetah or a hyena, which are bigger predatory animals and fit in more with the like the wolf and the bear type of, a lion type of predators. Bottom line is, this is some sort of a predatory animal. Now, we just said, that Rabbi Yosef said that this is an apa, that the Bardlis is apa, but now we're going to show that apa is used elsewhere, so it can't be this Bardlis. So Gemara says, basically, the following braisa is a kasha on Rabbi Yosef's opinion that the Bardlis is this Nafrizah, which is this apa. So Rav Meir Omer, Afa Tzavua. Rav Meir says there's another predatory creature known as the Tzavua. It is also Mu'ad Mitrilaso. Now, the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, the Tana Rabbi Elazar, Omer, Av HaNochosh, he says that Nochosh is also included over here. Now, here we have the explanation of this Braisa, the Omer of Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says about this Braisa, Rabbi Yosef is an Amora. So he says about this Braisa, he says this Tzavoa Zu Apa. The Tzavoa is the Apa. Now, how can you therefore tell me that Rabbi Yosef said that the Apa was the Bartolus? This Tzavoa is a addition to the Bardalus, and Rav Yosef says that's the Apa. So how can he also say that the Bardalus is the Apa? We seem to have a contradiction within Rav Yosef. So he says, no, not a contradiction. Lo kasha, we have two types of Bardalus. One is the male and one is the female. So Kan Bitzavoa, that's the Zohar of the Bardalus family. And you have Kan Bitzavoa, that's the Nekeva of the Bardalus family. So you have two different types of Bardalus. and two different types of apa. One is male and one is female, and that's how you teretz up the seeming duplication. The Rios says that both of them are called apa. And you can see this very clearly in the Rabbeinu Chananel, where he spells it out. It's about equal, you find the Rabbeinu Chananel about four or five lines into the wider lines of the Gemara, where the Rabbeinu Chananel says, Pirkei de Rav Yosef, from the words of Rav Yosef, we see Shaminon, the Nafriza, in the explanation of the Bible of Mishnah, Vitzavoa, Tavayu Apa Ninu, they're both types of Apa. Now, Miu, the Nafriza from our Mishnah, that's the Shem HaNekeva. And the Tzavoa that he added in the Brisa, that's Shem HaZohar. Okay. So that's a simple way to understand this, and I'll show you that this is right because one says the Tanya because we have a Brisa. The Tzavoa Zohar, it's called the Tzavoa Zohar, the male Tzavoa, after 7 years, Lachashev Shonim, Nasa Atalif, it turns into this creature known as an Atalif, normally translated as a bat. And then, again, after 7 years, Atalif Lachashev Shonim, Nasa Arpot, it becomes another creature known as an Arpot. Again, not exactly sure what these creatures are. Some translate this as another type of a bat. Okay. Arpad, after 7 years, Achashev Shonim, Nasa Kimosh. It turns into another type of creature called a Kimosh. Now, it's not clear that this is a creature. It maybe turns into something else, an entity like a thorn. That's what this Kimosh is. And this Kimosh, Achashev Shonim, Nasa Choach, it becomes something called a Choach, which is another type of a thorn. And then this Choach, the Achashev Shonim, Nasa Shade, turns into a shade. Again, I don't understand this Brisa. I'm just reading you this Brisa. But the Brisa is basically telling you that there's some sort of a transition from these creatures. They transform into something else over a period of time into some sort of an esoteric discussion that I don't understand. Okay. Now the Gemara tells us another esoteric thing. Shidro shel Adam liachashev ashanu nasa nochash. Nebuchadnezzar, after a person passes away, so his spine after 7 years becomes a nochash. His body, somehow the spine turns into a nochash. However, this is only for a person that didn't properly bow down during the mode of tefillah. Now, if you turn to the Omud Beis, there's a beautiful Tosos over there, which belongs to the Omud Aleph. V'hu d'lo kar b'modim. So, on the Omud Beis, it says, l'fisha mitzvah l'kroah, that a person has an obligation to bow down during modim. V'chizakiv zakiv k'chivya. And when you straighten yourself up, you should straighten up like a snake, which is in a different way than we straighten up for the other times that we bow down during the Shemona Esrei, at the beginning and the end of the first bracha, and at the beginning and the modim. So when we bow down for modim, we bow down in a slightly different way, and you come up with your head coming up first, and then your body coming up. Kedashim Reb Sheshes, in Sechas Brachas, the famous discussion, the Gemara in Brachas, and Daf Yud Beis. And the fact that you don't do this, Mida Keneged Mida, that you'll be punished, the Nasa Nochosh. This is showing that you didn't properly subordinate yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned you into a snake, which also didn't subordinate itself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Nochash HaKadmo. Okay, then he adds in the Gilyon, V'yesh Beforshim, Mishum Damrinu B'Medrash, there's another famous Medrash talking about the Luz bone. The Luz bone is the bone that will be the bone that will all be resuscitated from the Meher of Yameinu. For those that are Mason, they'll be resuscitated and come back to life via the Luz bone. The Medrash tells us that this Luz bone that's Etzem wasn't getting nourishment from anything other than the meal of Malava Malka. And therefore, it didn't get any nourishment from the eating from the Eitz Hadas that other Mechava had. And therefore, the Luz bone never was punished, so to say, with the sin of the Eitz Hadas. And that will be the bone that we'll all be resuscitated by. So, Shigesh Etzim B'Shedro Shalodim, this is a bone in the spine, somehow in the vertebral column. Shemimenu Notzar Li'otzid Lovel, that will be the bone that will be resuscitated by those that are dead and come back in Kriyat Samesim. V'Osu Etzim Chazok V'Kosha, Kolkach, it's a very, very strong bone. She'ena eish ochol l'sarfo, it can't be burned by fire, and it doesn't disintegrate in the womb, in the kever. V'hashta kishosa etzem nasa nochosh enu chay liyosu lovo. But if a person didn't properly bow down during modim, so then this will lead to this bone turning into a nochosh, and you won't be able to use it to resuscitate by tchiyatz emesim. However, he says v'ein svar lomar she'onish godlo kolkach bishul ovens. Yeah, says it's a little bit inconsistent to have such a strict penalty that you won't have Trias HaMesim because you didn't bow down during Modim. Because all Jewish people have a Chelik Olam Abba, so he doesn't like this idea. But the bottom line is that there is this concept of the Luz bone, which is sustained by the meal of Lava Malka. I heard an Adam Gadol say there would be a great suggestion for people now, especially if it's renting into these short Shabbosim, that people are going to eat probably something after Matzah Shabbos, they should make sure that they're eating it l'shem Malava Malka, and that this is a wonderful zuchus, in addition to zuchus, should be for all the chayalim in Eretz Yisrael, for all the kochas of Yitochum, for all the people in Nebuch, in hostage in Eretz Yisrael, that aren't taking part of the mitzvah of Malava Malka. It's a very, very easy mitzvah to do now in the winter months, that it should be a zuchus, an additional zuchus for all the people that need our zuchusim at this point in time. Okay, Gemara continues and says, Amar Mar, we just had this brisa where we said, Remeir Omer, Afa Tzavoa, and we turned to Tezayin on the base. We have Elazar Omer, Afa Nochesh. The Elazar says that it includes also the Nochesh. This lashon of Afa Nochesh is how problematic. V'anan Tzanan, but we learn in our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar, Omer, the same Rabbi Elazar, the time of Rabbi Elazar, Bizman Shehem B'nei Tarbus, Enom Muadim. He says that all these animals, they're wild animals, so then they're muad from the start. But if you have a domesticated circus bear, a circus lion, so then if they're domesticated, they are in captivity, and they're, you know, circus animals, so then ain't a muad them. But the nachash is always muad liolam. So how can you tell me af a nachash when he says already in the Mishnah nachash? So he says, you're right, leave out the word af. Tani nachash, the proper lashon of the Braisa, shouldn't have the word af a nachash. He says, tani nachash. He should just say nachash is always muad liolam. Now we're going to a discussion about how a lion actually does damage. So Amar Shmuel, Shmuel tells us, Ari b'rishus harabim, when a lion is in public and it goes and attacks other animals, the normal way it will eat is daras v'ochal. It will normally go and eat when it doesn't even kill the animal. As Tosfos says over here, pirusha ochel michayim. It just captures the animal and just starts eating it even before the animal actually is killed. That's the normal way that a lion goes and eats. Daras v'ochel. So when a lion does this, so then potter, it in fact is not going to be chayiv. The owner of this lion is not going to be chayiv for damages. So since it says that the Rishus HaRabim, the lion is allowed to go eat in the Rishus HaRabim, and it's going to be potter for anything that it eats in the Rishus HaRabim in the normal way. So that's why daras v'ochel, if the lion goes and eats something, it's not afraid that somebody's going to take its meal from him. The lion's the king of the jungle. So it goes and captures something, and he doesn't have to kill it. He just starts eating it. That's the way lions normally eat. Daras v'ochel, so you're potter in this situation because it's in the Rishus HaRabim. However, Taraf v'ochel, which is an unusual way that the lion actually goes and makes the animal into a trefa, it kills the animal and then eats it. That's an unusual form. So here you would be chayiv. This would in fact be something that the owner would be chayiv for. This isn't Shane anymore. This is now Karen. And the Gemara explains, daras v'ochel poter, because kiven de orchel limidras, the normal way that the lion goes and captures an animal, and then it starts eating it. So have a lake mosh, ochle peros or yurakos. This is like a normal cow eating peros and yurakos, and there's a sarabim. The have a lake shame yushu sarabim, and shame yushu sarabim is potter, as I explained. However, taraf, if the animal does something that is unusual, it doesn't normally kill the animal and then eat it. So therefore, when it kills the animal, this is like Karen, lav orkehu, and therefore, this would be Karen, which would be chai for even in the rishus sarabim. Now, Lememra, this seems to imply the treif lav orchiyu, that a lion doesn't normally go and kill its prey. But we have several psukim we're now going to bring down. We're going to answer in the same way that the lion is doing this for its progeny, for its children, or for its for the lioness, and not doing it for itself. But we have several psukim baksiv. The first pasuk that we're going to bring down is a pasuk from Nahum, where it says that a lion, ayeh, toreif bidei gorosab, it goes and kills for its cubs. So Gemara says, yeah, bishul gorosab, it kills for its cub, but not for itself. So therefore, when it's killing for its cubs, it will go and kill the animal, and then go bring the dead animal to its cubs. But it won't do this for itself. Therefore, if it does it for itself and eats, that's mishune. Gemara says, what about this pasuk? Umechanek lilvoosab. The pasuk continues and says that it will go and choke the animal to death for its lioness. And the Gemara says the same thing, bishul lilvoosab, for its mate, for its lioness, it will go and kill it, but not for itself. If it's for itself, we'll just start eating it. What about this pasuk? Vayamale terev chorav. The pasuk continues and says that it will go and fill up its cave, its chorav, with these types of dead animals. So it says, yeah, bishul chorav, in order to have food there for the mislama, for the baby lions, for the cubs, for other times. So it won't do it for itself, but it will not to eat right now, but it will do it for future purposes. Then it will do that, and therefore that is different. Umonosav treifa, what about this part of the pasuk? It says that it will fill up its its cave with all of these dead animals. So the Gemara says, again, Bishul Monosav, to have the stuff there in its cave, in its lair. So that is different. So again, we can't bring a riot from this pasuk in Nachum that lions go and normally kill a taraf. They know when they eat daras v'ochel, that's normal shein. However, if it's taraf, it always is karen. It's considered unusual, and therefore you'd have to pay the nezek. Adimor says we have another brisa. But Tanya, this brisa is on Daf Yutaz. If a wild animal comes in to the chutz of the nizak where it has no rights to go, and it goes and tarfa behema, it goes and kills an animal, the ochla baser, and then goes and eats the meat, mishalem negzis shalem, you pay full damages because it's the rishus of nizak. So this is in accord with the opinion that in the rishus of the nizak you pay even nezik shalem. Now here it seems to say tarfa behema, it's all about any type of predatory animal that does this, Mistama, including the lion. So how come over here you are chayev? According to you, tarfa is something that is nezik, chatzi nezik, and not a normal way of eating. You only have to pay chatzi nezik over here, not nezik shalem. So again, the Gemara says, ha'chamayaskina shetarfa laniach. Here it was going to store it for later usage and not to eat it right now. But it is eating it right now. So how can you say that? So we give an answer. Kishanim l'chav yochla. The lion changed its mind. He said, yeah, I'm having this for later on, but I changed my mind. I'd like to have it now. I said, what are you talking about? I mean, no, you didn't. Well, we know what's going on in the lion's mind. And furthermore, oh, the Shmuel Nami, but then when Shmuel had said before that you pay chatzi damages, chatzi nezek, so then maybe the lion changed his mind. You can't use this terrorist. Maybe the lion changed his mind. So I'm Nachman Yitzchak, you're right. This Braisa actually had two separate statements. It said, number one, shetar falun yach, a lion that goes and kills for later on. So then you be chayiv full nezek shalem. That's the normal way that the lion does this. However, odarsa v'ochla, but if it goes and eats it right now while it's still alive, in those situations, in the chutz of the nizak, so that's normal, that's orche, meshalem es nezek shalem. Then you pay nezek shalem, and it doesn't go and contradict what Shmuel had said. Okay. Another teretz, Rabin Omar, Kikar Shmuel, when Shmuel said that if the lion goes and is tarfa in the Rishus HaRabim, the owner is chayav, so that's talking about Ba'ari Tarbus, that's talking about the circus lion, the domesticated lion. And it goes, Valiba, the Rabbi Elazar, the Omar Lav Orche. And this goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, who says that's not a normal thing for it to do. And that's why you go and have to pay damages in that situation, the Chatzi Nezek. Says, so then in that situation, even if the lion goes and eats it, you should have to be chayv. Why does Shmuel say that in that situation it's like Shein and that it would be potter? Shein b'rishus harabim is potter. So where it says, Ela the Ravina lav Shmuel itmar. Ravina didn't make a statement on Shmuel. El amas nisa. He made it on the Braisa. The Braisa states as follows. Ki tani mas nisa bari tarbus. The lion that we're dealing with in the Braisa is talking about the circus lion, the domesticated lion. Ba'aliba the Rabbi Elazar, the Omer lav orche. And this goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, who says that that's still not normal for this circus lion to go and attack. And that's why it is considered something that is not normal. It's not orche, and therefore you're chayv. One says, so then, then how come you have to pay full damages if it's not the normal way? So if it doesn't do this on a regular basis, it did this now one time, so then it's like a short time, and you don't have to be chatzi nezek. One says, no, it did it multiple times already, the yayid. It's therefore a muad. Where it says, wait a second, if it's a muad, so my high, the Tony law, Gabi told her the shame, but wait a second, it's in the category of shame over here. Gabi told her the Karen Boiler mistake. If you're telling me that this is now an unusual type of damage, and he did it a number of times, so then why are you listing it next to Shane? So it should be listed next to Karen. It should be a Toldo of Karen. And the Mora concludes, it says, yeah, that's Taka Akasha. Okay. Let's start the next Mishnah. And we had this already the other day, so this is Chazara. Ma bein tam lemuad. What is the difference between a short tam and a short muad? So we said, El shatam mishalim chatzi nezek migufa. We said that the tam, you only pay chatzi nezek, and you only pay from the damaging animal. So in our case, where the animal did $500 worth of damage, but the short tam itself was only worth $200, so the half damages would be $250, but the ox is only worth $200, so the maximum amount you'd have to pay would be $200. So you take it migufo from the short tam itself, and if it doesn't have within it the amount to pay chatzi nezek, then you don't have to pay the rest of the chatzi nezek. If it was worth $250, then you have to pay the whole $250, but it's only worth $200, it's only worth $100, so that's all you have to pay. You don't take it out of the owner's pocket. As opposed to a muad, b'shalim nezu sholim in aliyah. From the muad, when it does damage, you have to go take it from the aliyah. You have to pay the full damages. If it damaged $500, so even though it's only worth $200, you're going to have to make up the rest. Meitav sadeh or meitav karma yishalim. You're going to have to pay the rest from the pocket, from the best. And the Gemara starts off and says, what does it mean, my aliyah? What does it mean from the best? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, b'me'ula shebin chasav. You have to pay from the best of his property. And we have this pasuk that's brought down from Diri Yom Beis, but Yishkab Chizkiyo im Avosav, when Chizkiyo passed away, he was buried with his fathers. They put him in the best, the Bamala of the Kivarim of Beis David. Rav Elazar, Rav Elazar says, Bamala, it means it's a Me'ulim Shebe Mishpacha, amongst the best of Mishpacha, which is Uman Ninu, who are they? David Shlomo, he's buried next to David Shlomo, the great Chizkiyo Melech. Then we say, Vaikbiru Bikvurosov Asher Karlo Beir David. They buried him in the graves that they had set up in the ear of David. Now here it's not talking about Chizkiyo anymore. Here it's talking about the Melech Asa. So Vayishkivu Bamishkov Asher Milei Besamim Uzinim. That they buried him over there in this place that was filled up with Besamim and Znim. Now, what is this talking about? So the Gemara says, "My besamim uznim." What are these things? So Rabbi Elazar Omar, the same Rabbi Elazar, tells us that zine. There were many different types of besamim. The zine is a word for besamim. Rashi Bar Nachmeni Omar, besamim shekol miriach b'em bali deziba. This was really, really top notch besamim that anybody who smelled this would automatically have a temptation, a desire to go and be with women. These besamim reminded them of women, and they were very, very strong smelling besamim. So that's what it's referring to. Now, the Gemara says, Ki kara shucha lilochteni upachim tam liragloi. This is from Yirmiyahu, where he says that Yirmiyahu is telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they put me in the ground, they dug a pit, Yirmiyahu was thrown into this pit, and they put traps in there to capture me with my feet. Rabbi Loz Omar, shechashdu mizona, that they were accusing Yirmiyahu, who was a Kohen, of being with the Zona, which is of course also for a Kohen. And therefore, this is the diatribe, this is the false charge that they had against Yirmiyahu. And Rishu ben Achmeni, this is brought here because it's the similar Bali Plukta, Rav Elazar and Rishu ben Achmeni, so this is brought here as well. So Rishu ben Achmeni, Omar, Shechashdu b'Eishas Ish, that they suspected him of being an Eishas, of having relations with an Eishas Ish, Rechwan al-Litzlan. Now, Mishlam and Mandi, Omar, Shechashdu b'Mizona, we understand the first opinion of Rav Elazar, who said that they accused him of having relations with a Zona, Hanadusiv, Kishucha Amuka Zona, because we say that a pit is compared to a Zona. And he was saying, that they threw me shucha luchteni. So therefore, it makes sense to say that they accuse him of being with Zona. But what about an Eishas Ish? Where do we find the pasuk that it's compared to a pit? Eloman diyama shechashdu me Eishas Ish. Where do we have that, that it's a pit? So Gemara says, Atu Eishas Ish mean afku michlal Zona? What, an Eishas Ish is not called also something that's aser? She's also a Zona for the Kohen, and therefore, Yirmiyahu, who was a Kohen, would be also with an Eishas Ish as well. So it fits in with the pasuk. Gemara says, Bishlam Aman Diyomar Shechashdu Me'eshes Ish. Makes sense that they called him Rachman al-Islam of having relations with Eishes Ish. I know this is the pasuk makes sense. Vatoshim Yadatis call Atzosos Olai Lamavis. You understand all they're trying to do to me to kill me because Rachman al-Islam having relations with Eishes Ish is a Chiv Misa, a capital crime. However, Aman Diyomar Shechashdu Me'zona, but if they accuse him of having relations with Zona, well, that's a terrible Aveira, my Lamavis, it's not a capital crime. So Gemara says, Sheishlichu Leber Tit. No, that was the throwing of Yirmiyahu into the pit. Finally, Darash Rabbah, we continue this darshing of this pasuk. What does the pasuk mean when it says, "You mechushalim lefanecha be'ais apacha asay bohem"? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let them go and fall, let them stumble. Don't let them be successful when they make you angry. So Amar Yirmiyahu lefanei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yirmiyahu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Ribono Shel Olam." He says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Afilu b'shoach osim stakha." These people, they do terrible things to me, but sometimes they're going to do good things against stakha. So make it that they fail. Hachshilin b'vnei adam she'ena mehuganim. Make them give stakha. The people don't really deserve to get the stakha. Kedei shelo yikablu aleim schar. So they won't get schar. There's an interesting thing that if you give stakha, and the person doesn't deserve to get tzedakah, so then it's not clear that you get the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. You were fooled. So Yirmiyahu is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go and fool them. They're trying to do good deeds of giving tzedakah, but they're such terrible people. Don't let this good deed allow them to be a merit for them and be successful in all of the things that they're trying to do to me and to Klai Yisrael. So make it that when they give tzedakah, they're not successful even in the giving of their tzedakah. Now, there's still more to darshan over here, but this is a good break point over here. And with this, we conclude today's shir. Should be Shalom Ayisro.